Mark Sigmund, are you ready?
Sure am, Gary.
Mike Vito, are you ready?
Yes, I am, Gary.
Start us up. Call in now to be heard live on the Clean and Sober Radio Show at 888-329-3306. That's 888-329-3306. Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Clean and Sober Radio out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. My name is Gary Hendler, along with my co-host Mark Sigmund. We have another interesting show to put together today, right?
We sure do, Gary. What a week, huh?
What a week.
What a week. Pardon me.
Pardon me?
Pardon me. I'm hoping you can get me on the list.
Why, did you do anything wrong?
Yeah, but mine was nothing like what you did.
That jaywalking charge of yours when you were 11, the president's not going to deal with that.
It should be easy to get off my record, let me tell you.
I can pardon you.
I believe you can at this point.
With my pardon from the president, it gave me powers of pardon from my friends.
That's great. Just like Brett can do marriages now, you can pardon people.
We're all going to end up in state prison.
We're probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Hey, listen, welcome to Clean and Sober Radio. We've been doing this a pretty long time, and we're a show that deals with addiction and recovery, and we want to give the message of hope, and there are resources out there to get clean and sober. And some of our underwriters are Recovery Centers of America outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and several other locations. We have also Jefferson University and Jefferson Healthcare, another great, incredible group of hospitals, and Acadia Healthcare also, which deals with the treatment of mental illness and addiction. So there's a lot of good resources out there, and as we always say, they don't deliver recovery, and they do not – there's no drive-ins to get it. Right, Mark?
Yes, and we say it every week. Get it early. Don't wait till the lowest of low bottoms. Reach out for help. Get it early before this thing progresses even further. We want to get it at a high bottom.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, we are – for the first part of the show today, we're really honored to have Eric Gales is going to be our guest. He's on the phone right now.
Yes.
Let's just bring him on right now. Eric, are you there?
Hi, Eric.
I am here. I am very tickled by the pardon conversation.
Oh.
Do you need one?
Yeah, right.
Do you need one, Eric?
Do you need one? Yeah, he does need one. We'll get into that. Let me just read a little bit about you, Eric. And first of all, man, you are one unbelievable musician. So Eric Gales, born October 29th, we won't say the year, also known as Raw Dog, is an American blues rock guitarist, originally hailed as a child prodigy. You have 18 albums on major labels, and I'm very familiar with these labels. I grew up in the music business in Philadelphia, so I get this whole thing. You've played with unbelievable people, Carlos Santana, a host of other ones, and you're I want to ask you a couple questions. I'm fascinated by the way you play your Stratocaster. Can you tell me, before we get into the meat of you, why do you play it the way you do? And explain to our listeners and viewers, the way that you play that Strat is different than most other people.
Well, first off, I just want to make sure, do I need my lawyer for any of these questions you're about to ask me?
Listen. Listen, I don't know, you might, but for all kidding aside, there's no trick questions here, okay, man? And I'm sure anything that you ever did, I bet the statute of limitations are up.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. Man, I grew up, man, you know, in a very musical family. And, you know, I am the baby of five brothers total.
Yeah.
My mom was the only sister of six brothers. So, you know, music just ran in the whole bloodline. I mean, there was no way. My brothers were already playing before I was even thought about. And, you know, when I came out, you know, it was just already laid out for me. You know, a lot of gospel, a lot of, being in church was involved. And that just was, I had no idea that that was the bedding foundation for who I would, turn out to be as of today. But I just picked the guitar up without a real conscience that my brothers were playing the exact same way.
Wow.
Left-handed and upside down.
Yeah.
One of my brothers was not a true left-handed player, but he played left-handed upside down. My other brother, Lil Jimmy King, he played left-handed and upside down, just as we all do, but he actually was a left-handed. He wrote left-handed, shot ball and everything left-handed.
And you're right-handed. You're right-handed, aren't you?
I was just about to say, that is the unorthodox part of my whole blend, is that I play left-handed upside down, but I write right-handed, and I do most of everything right-handed. So, I mean, for all you scientists out there that take apart brains and lobotomies and everything like that, you know, there's one for you to go figure out. But it works for me. So once I, took to it and I picked it up the very first time, it was very easy and very comfortable to me. But at the same time, I go sit on a set of drums and play them right hand. So,
that's cool, man.
It was insane. So, it was just what came natural to me. And most of the people that I was being turned on to, that my brother Eugene hit me on to, it didn't even dawn on me which way that they played. Over half of the people that I'm influenced by and inspired by from the age of four, it didn't even dawn on me that they were right-handed players. It made no difference to me. And I'm glad that that was not something that I focused on, because my focus was on, man, I love what I'm hearing, and by any means necessary, I'm going to figure it out.
Would this be a good description of you? Eric Gales first hit the scene as a teenage guitar prodigy. I'm reading this, but it's pretty cool. He could play Hendrix like Hendrix, and he could play the blues like the masters. Despite his talent and promise, Eric Gales would hit the self-destruct button like all of us sitting at this table, which would lead to a cocaine addiction and land you in prison.
I mean, you know what? It don't get more plainer than that. But that's it.
You grew up in a large family, probably a loving family. Take us through what it was like as a kid, and take us through when you were born in '74. So I guess none of this really happened until the late 1900s. I mean, you're still a kid in my eyes, Eric. I'm gonna tell you right now.
Oh yeah.
Right. And Mark Sigmund, my co-host, he's a baby. When were you born, Mark?
I was born in 75.
Oh, you're the same age as him.
Gary was 1918 or 1919, around there.
I'm 104. All right, take us through. What was it like? Tell us about your family. I always like to know our guest. Where did you come from?
I come from Memphis out of a very religious home. My mom and dad, my dad was a truck driver. He was going a lot, but both of them, very church-oriented. And we were at church several times a week. And, I began to play in the church at 5 and 6 years old with my uncle, who also was left-handed upside down and backwards, by the way.
Wow.
I had, older brothers. So all my brothers, my next to me brothers were 10 years old, older than me. Mm-hmm. So my oldest brother was 18 to 19 years older than me. So, it was, I grew up in a home where, I idolized every brother I had. So, I was the baby. So I looked up to everybody,
Sure.
And it was not, most sobriety stories that you hear about, or most addiction stories that you hear about, there is, some pretty detrimental things that happen in their younger childhood that adds up to, what surfaces in the addiction facet later on in life.
Right.
But I can't give you that story backline for me. That's not what happened with me. I grew up in a great home. My mother and father, were married until my mom passed away, and my dad just recently passed away. A couple of months ago.
Sorry to hear that, man.
Sorry.
And, And I got to say, you know, I got the best example out of what a marriage should look like, what a best example of what a father and mother should be. I got the best example of what older brothers should be. So my childhood and my coming up, you know, played no role to me in my whole later years being introduced to the drug scene and drug world and stuff like that.
Right. That's very interesting. You know, I also have the same background. I had no, you know, loving family, no nonsense, no alcohol, no drug addiction. But you know what? Like you, Eric, something, our brains tripped in some way and
it tripped.
We went off, you know.
It tripped. It tripped. It really did. And, you know, to say the least, no pun intended. I mean, tripping and acid wasn't my thing, but it tripped, though.
Okay. So you like that, huh, man? So Eric,
I liked it.
Eric, listen, man, you were 16 years old when you signed with Elektra?
15.
15 wow. years. What was that like? What were you, ninth grade, 10th grade? What were you in?
10th grade. I was 10th grade, and, man, you know, long story short, some circumstances had happened where me and my older brothers and cousin Hubert Crawford, Eugene Gales, mm-hmm. played in this band competition, and I was maybe 13 at the time. The first time we did it. And we took home, you know, second place, which everybody thought that we were robbed of it. And then we waited a year and done it again, entered it again. And then that's when the roof blew off of everything. We won the competition both days. And there was a producer there that said, win, lose, or draw. Man, I want to take you guys in the studio. And we did our first demos. And shortly after, four-song demo. And that we'd never wrote before, and you know, in a weekend we wrote four songs, and it turned out the interest of 13 major labels began to start the bidding war.
Wow.
for us, and that's how it started, and you know, that's the beginning part
and
of
how
it happened.
And how old were you again? When I said 15?
I was 15 when the deal got signed. I was 16 when my first record came out.
Man, I bet wow. you get a lot of girls with that background, right?
Oh, man. I had my share of women folk. I ain't going to lie to you. I mean, they came around when I was, you know, in my early teens. But, you know, I wound up with the right one.
Well, that's right.
That I got now, listen, you know what I mean? But, you know.
Listen, all of us in this room now, we ended up with the right ladies.
Yes, we did.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, it wasn't bad getting there. You know what I mean?
No, it wasn't too bad getting there. I ain't going to lie. It was, you know, it was a ride. It was a ride that, you know. Sometimes, you know, plays in my head from time to time. And sure. You think about the days of old when, you know, I wasn't worried about a whole lot and, you know, and didn't have to pay a whole lot of bills and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, time before the real world actually came knocking at the door with a vengeance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we certainly did. Hey, you know, we're going to go to a break in a couple minutes, but let's talk a little bit about, you know, your addiction, because that's really what the show here is about.
Mm-hmm.
What was your drug of choice, Eric?
My drug of choice was snorting coke. I mean, either way you want to look at it, cocaine. Let's just call it what it is. I'm not going to make it soft. I'm just going to tell you the truth. It was cocaine.
Yeah, okay. That's not bad, right? Listen, man, mine was Quaaludes. You were a little kid when those came out, right?
I was, but I'm very familiar with them.
Are you? Yeah, I knew we had something in common, man.
Yeah, man.
I'm also a pretty good guitar player.
Hey, man. Hey, there you go. Sometimes, for some reason, Quaaludes and guitar playing kind of go together.
yeah, they do. they do. And my man Mark here is a real good guitar player. I'm really a drummer. He's a guitar player.
And we have a band, Eric, which we'd love to have you in. It's called the Clean and Sober Band.
Yeah, okay.
Last time we played was like 2 years ago, but...
Yeah, don't drop your day job to join this band, okay? That's what I'm talking about.
It's in Gary's basement.
Hey, let's do this. Let's take our first break. Eric, will you hang in with us for a little while?
I got you, man.
Okay,
yes, sir.
All right, we'll be right back with Eric Gales.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF, the Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Huntington Creek Recovery Center is Eastern Pennsylvania's premier provider of transformative care for individuals whose lives have been impacted by addiction. Our 40-acre campus offers a tranquil, recovery-focused environment. We specialize in evidence-based care that addresses the effects of trauma and offer a unique program specifically for adolescent males. Huntington Creek Recovery Center can help you achieve lasting sobriety. Call us today at 844-948-2320.
Hi, this is Governor Tom Wolf. Thousands of families across Pennsylvania have been affected by the opioid epidemic. Together, we can fight this disease. If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, help is available. Visit pa.gov/opioids for resources and information on substance abuse. For treatment options, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Brought to you by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Tom Wolf, Governor. Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
Hi, this is Judy Collins, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, this is Darryl Strawberry, and you're listening to Clean and Sober Radio.
Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. And I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm still standing.
Hey, we're back. Clean and Sober Radio. I'm Gary Hendler, along with my co-host Mark Sigmund. We have a great guest. Eric Gales is with us today. Eric, you back? We're back. We're back.
We're back, man. We're back.
We're back, man. So where do you live? I mean, don't give me your street address, but where do you live?
No, I ain't gonna give you my street address. I don't know if I might have owed you money in the past, so I can't give you my street address for you to be able to find it. Go ahead.
Let me tell you something, Eric. I can find you now with this presidential pardon, okay?
Gary's got all kinds of inside connections,
that's crazy.
Obviously.
That's crazy. I'm in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Very good.
I've been here for almost 9 years.
I lived in a town called Hickory. You know where that is?
I'm going to tell you, unfortunately, I do. And I have a story.
Let's hear it.
Connected to Hickory, North Carolina.
Yeah.
When we were first touring, experienced my first racism issue.
Sure, of course.
And it was there. You know, we were getting ready to play the show, and I'm going to say this because I think it's safe for me to say because it's the truth and it's what happened.
Say
before
it, man.
Before we went out on stage, we looked out there and we saw that the audience that had attended the show had them put nigger stickers on our equipment.
Jesus God.
And, you know, it was my first time ever encountering that. So needless to say, we didn't play the show. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry that the connection to where you used to live in Rome, it was brought up that way. But, you know, it's an issue that needs to be talked about. And, you know, this has happened way too long in society, and I unfortunately have had an encounter with it. And, you know, we got back on the tour bus and we left. And my technicians were very scared to go out there because they didn't know if they were going to be in harm's way to go get our equipment and load it back up. But we didn't play the show that night.
Unfortunately,
that happened. But fortunately, I had an opportunity to go back through there and do something with a really huge friend of mine by the name of Joe Bonamassa. So I went back 25 years later, and, you know, I had no problem.
You know, I want to tell you something, Eric. I lived there for 1 year. I'm from Philadelphia. I lived there in 1978, and I had sort of not the black issue, but the Jewish issue. And, and back then, man, I know it's different now because, like, Hickory is an artsy-fartsy community, and it's nice. But back in obviously, the 50s, 60s, 70s, and the 80s, of course, there was the problem that still exists today, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yeah.
You know, unfortunately.
Yeah, I understand.
Hey, you know, what was I going to say over here? Let's go to – let's – Talk to us a little bit. Hey, tell us what Triad is.
A chord, or now see, I live in a triad, where I'm here in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Greensboro, Charlotte, Winston, you know, it's the triad area. Or are you talking about the core?
No, I'm talking about exactly what you're talking about, the area. Tell us about it, because...
I'm going to tell you, honestly, I only got familiar with this area once I moved here after, you know, the day I met my wife. A week later, my zip code changed. So it happened like that. I just knew that she was the one. So with that being said, I began to find out, you know, that, you know, this triad and this town was pretty cool. You know, I go out, but not very much. Of course, due to the pandemic, we really didn't scale it all the way back. But, you know, when we were touring, we were rarely at home. So it would be at home and back on the road. So for what it's worth, you know, the triad's pretty cool. It's maybe an hour to each place, depending on where you go. Winston is about 20 minutes from Greensboro. So, you know, it's pretty cool.
Now, you had COVID, didn't you?
Me and my wife.
You and your wife. Your wife is LaDonna. Is that her name, LaDonna?
LaDonna, yes.
Yeah. I was reading about it. That was a couple months ago, right?
A couple of months ago, man. And it got so bad that me and my wife looked at each other in the bed, butt naked, because it hurt to put clothes on.
Wow.
And we looked at each other and we said our last goodbyes.
Really?
It was that bad. Me and her looked at each other and I said, babe, you know what? Hey, I cheer up about it from time to time because it's one of those type of situations. But I said, man, you know what? I'm really glad that you crossed my path in my life and helped me saw who the real me that was hiding inside the whole time that wanted to break out. You helped me realize that. And I wouldn't have had wished for my life to go. If I'm to go, I don't wish it to be with nobody else. And we both kind of said that to each other because I thought it was over, man.
Well, that puts everything in perspective, right? I mean, I've never been in that situation, but I'm sure it does. You know, the money doesn't mean anything at that point. All you do is you want your health back.
That's all you want, man.
So
nothing matters.
So you're playing at a concert, and you see your wife in the audience, and she's digging your music, right? And you say, I think I got her. What's that mean, man?
you must be reading a story that I've told about this before.
No, I've been watching you for all these years, okay?
That's exactly how it happened. I did look out there, and I said, I got her. What I meant by when I said I got her is I saw her begin to bob her head by the music.
Right,
so
right.
If I was able to draw her in by the music that I was doing, then my mouthpiece could take care of the rest.
That's why I said with the music you can get a lot of girls. So let me ask you. So 2 months later you marry her, and then and then you hid your addiction from her, didn't you?
I did. I hid my addiction from her for quite some time.
Yeah.
And she's not a dumb woman, but she came into this marriage very naive on not knowing what the signs of what being on coke for 3 days straight looked like, or, you know, the effects of what pills look like.
Yep.
You know, I was mixing too. I was, you know, if I had blow, I had to have my Xanax to balance out the seesaw. You know what I mean?
Of course,
doing blow by itself is terrible. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. But you understand? So
of course
with someone that came up in the church that had seen at worst maybe some Boone's Farm or some weed, you know what I'm saying? At worst, like that was basically a sheltered life. So she, you know, I was living a Jekyll and Hyde life for quite a while. And until the point she just said, you know what, I don't know about all this stuff in the world, but I know something is not right. I know what the effects of weed look like, and I know what the effects of somebody being drunk look like. And so I had been telling her that I've been smoking a lot of weed and I had been drinking a lot, but I was staying up 4 and 5 days at a time. And I was consistently losing weight. My clothes wouldn't fit anymore.
Yeah.
And so she was like, something wrong. And to the point that she just said, man, I can't continue to watch you kill yourself. I don't know what it is, but something is happening with you. To the point that she would stay up when I would eventually go to sleep. And she put her finger under my nose just to make sure I was still breathing.
Yeah.
So she had then got that afraid And that was something that she didn't ask for. I didn't give her an option of whether she wanted to willingly enter into a marriage with someone that had these kinds of problems. So with that being said, going forward, I find myself very fortunate that I am still with the woman that I want to be with. And she was able to see the fact after her getting some teachings and knowledge and intel to her through Nar-Anon and stuff like that about the disease, because as we all know, when the addict go get clean, that don't mean everybody else is happy that you done got clean. So you are pushing up the road to happy destiny, but you left a tailwind of a tornado with everybody that you love and care about that are still dealing with this situation that you left them in. So unless they go get help too, they're going to still be upset with you no matter how clean or how long you live your life. That's... So with that being said, my wife went and got help as well. Once I told her that, you know what, man, babe, I'm going to do this. And she didn't even believe me when we were going to Nashville at Cumberland Heights. She didn't believe me because we drove from Greensboro to Nashville, which is 7 hours. She thought I was going to get out the car at a stop at the rest stop and not come back. So I did. I held to what I said. We got down there, and when she knew I was serious is when they took my bags into the intake and they told me that I couldn't walk my wife back out to the car. I said, well, babe, that's it. I'm here. I'll see you in 30 days. And she knew then that, man, he is for real. He's going to stay. And I did. And I told her, I said, I told you so. I've been trying it the wrong way for a long time. What do I got to lose? Misery will still be out there waiting on me if I want to go back to it. So let me try to see if this thing works out for me. Let me go all the way in, and what do you know it? I'm almost five years clean and sober.
Congratulations. What's your date, Eric?
July 15th.
You know, your story is your individual story, but it's so typical. You know, I was lucky that I was in recovery when I got married, but, you know, we don't, when we're in that addiction, man, we don't care what kind of, as you say, tornado we're leaving behind us. But then when we get clean and sober, you know, you start to feel real. You know, when you were telling a story, I start to feel really bad for LaDonna. You know, she was naive, but she was smart, she was strong, and she stuck with you, and you're a lucky guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, man, I am very lucky, man. Very lucky. And I agree with you. I really do.
And Eric, how do you stay clean these days? What do you do for your recovery?
Man, you know what? Honestly, you know, for the first four years, you know, I was regularly at my meetings. You know, I would, when I was on the road, you know, I stayed, with the foundation. And for me, sometimes the foundation is different for other people. One thing that I knew is that, man, being on the road, being around people, drinking and all that kind of stuff, those things don't bother. Even somebody smoking weed, those things don't bother me because, you know, I know for me what I can't do anymore. Because if I play the tape through and I do it, then I'm not good to anybody. It's over. So I know what type of person that I am when I am fully engaged in the addiction wide open. And for some reason, what has kept me even through the pandemic and not have being able to go physically to meetings is I just know that, I try to wake up every day and make today just a little bit better than yesterday. It's really simple, man. You know, it's really, really simple. When you look at it and when you analyze it, it's the individuals, and I'm guilty of it too. I am the one that's the perpetrator of making something harder than what it is. And it's very simple. I can't do that. You know what I mean? I can't do that. If I do, and it's not about the materialistic things or other things, but I have accomplished quite a bit of stuff in almost 5 years that has been turned around 360 degrees in this short amount of time, if you look at it. And if I do, I lose everything. If I rewind the tape from now and I go back the other way, I lose everything. I lose my family. I lose my daughter, who I have now got a relationship with after 28 years. I lose my wife, who I repaired my marriage back after 8 years. I lose my stepdaughter that I have acquired. And my wife just tells me the other day, she had a conversation with my stepdaughter, and my stepdaughter asked her, how would I feel if she changed her last name to my last name?
Oh, that's
never
beautiful.
Never would I ever would have thought. Never would I have thought that could have happened. So it's insane. So for me, it's simple to keep going forward, because here's the other fact that I have that keeps me a little grounded. There has to be something miraculous waiting for me right up the road, because if I have stood tall against addiction for 30 plus years and it didn't take me out, COVID almost killed me and it didn't take me out. I lost my dad and several family members and it didn't take me out. I went through being broke and it didn't take me out. So there has to be something very miraculous waiting on me right around the corner that I have the most control of when it comes to my personal self. If I keep me straight, everything else is going to be fine. So I can handle everything else. It's me that I can't handle. So let me keep me okay, and I can handle everything else. So if I keep that sort of mentality about what I got going on, then I'm going to be in the sober society for quite some time.
Hey, Eric, you know, first of all, you're a beautiful guy, man, and you're one of the guys I always refer to. You're one of the winners, and your message and your story, you know, we have a lot of people watching the show right now and even more people listening. You know, I'm sure you have helped at least a couple people right now because of your message, and we do really appreciate that.
Wow. Thank you, man.
I mean,
thank
really, you're a beautiful guy, man. You know, we're up against the clock right now. We're going to have to say goodbye, but I just want you, can you give me a promise that you'll come back on our show? Because I'd like to continue this dialogue with you.
Truthfully, you got me wishing that I was part of the crew every week.
Come on, man. Listen, let me tell
you
something.
He's joining the band.
Listen, what we're going to do. We're going to call you within the next month. You come back on the show for hopefully an hour this time. We're going to get rid of the second part of the show. And I will stay in touch with you, or Mark will. And it's really an honor for us to call you a friend now, Eric.
Dude, you know what, man? One day at a time. That's all we got, man. You know, keep coming back and, you know, keep trudging this road of destiny, man. You know, one way or another, it has to be much better on our worst day clean than it was on our best day high. So no, I'm going to leave you with that.
Listen, no question about it. Thank you, Eric Gales. Thank you so very much. Have a great weekend, brother.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, man. You guys too. Thank you all so much, man. Okay. Most importantly,
yes.
I would be remiss if I did not say on Tuesday, I felt like I'd see a glimmer of hope for not just some, but for all. And I have to say that. And again, I have to bite these words from the man who said it. It's not about the example of your power, but it's about the power of your example. Thank you, guys.
Well, hold on. listen. Oh. We couldn't agree with you more, my brother.
Man.
We couldn't agree with you more. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay. Have a great weekend, Eric.
See you, Eric.
You too, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you. What a great guy, man. What a great guy.
Great guy. And
yeah. Let's do this. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings the power to out-science cancer.
Don't let addiction rob you of one more day. Pocono Mountain Recovery Center offers comprehensive addiction treatment for adults. Depending on your unique needs, your care at Pocono Mountain may include detox, residential treatment, and an array of outpatient options. We also offer transitional living support and transportation for outpatient participants. Pocono Mountain is in network with most major insurance plans. Start your recovery journey at Pocono Mountain Recovery Center. To learn more, call 877-596-0223.
Huntington Creek Recovery Center is Eastern Pennsylvania's premier provider of transformative care for individuals whose lives have been impacted by addiction. Our 40-acre campus offers a tranquil, recovery-focused environment We specialize in evidence-based care that addresses the effects of trauma and offer a unique program specifically for adolescent males. Huntington Creek Recovery Center can help you achieve lasting sobriety. Call us today at 844-948-2320.
Can I go to the sleepover?
Lucy, I want you to promise me something. If there's any drinking, I want you to say, no thanks, not my thing.
Mom!
I promise you, your real friends won't care. Deal?
I promise, Mom.
They really do hear you.
Did you pack your toothbrush?
For tips on how to start the talk, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. A public service message from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration.
Hey, this is Mark Stein from Vanilla Fudge, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
Hi, this is Butch Patrick. That's right, TV's Eddie Munster, and everything is better with Clean and Sober Radio.
That was great, with Eric, wasn't it?
That was awesome. I mean, he's played with everybody. He's played with Santana. He played at Woodstock 94. Yeah. I mean, he's really been around the block.
Let's take attendance, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Suzanne Duncan, Dan Campbell, and Keith Hornig are watching us. Jim Meehan. Congratulations, Gar. Mark Loss again. What's that
mean? He's talking about me getting a pardon. Compared to you.
I'll pardon you. Don't worry about it.
I'm ready.
Victoria Petrowski is watching.
Hello.
It has to be late. She has to be late at the gym.
She's got to be.
Jimmy! Got to also recognize Jim. Also, Jim Petrowski, thanks for all the work you do with us. Mary Clancy. Andrea Diaz, your gorgeous
wife. My beautiful
wife.
Hello, honey.
Mark needs a couple pardons. All right, sneeze a couple times and I'll pardon you. Dan Campbell, keep up the good work. Rudy still has his license. Who's that?
Mark? She's talking about Rudy Giuliani.
Right, he wasn't pardoned.
He wasn't pardoned.
No. Troy Gave Martinson is watching. Kevin Ronayan is watching. Colin McNamara is watching. Catherine Christine. Ted Klotz. Keith Hornick, President Trump granted Gary Handler a pardon. Gary, this pardon is supported by former Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. That's correct. Let me see what else he says here. I want to read this. Man, is this thing long? And the Office of the Pardon Attorney in 84. It's all about my pardon. Hey, man, thanks for writing all this. Yeah, you know what? Here's how I look at this pardon thing. I did deserve this pardon. I worked hard for the last 38 years in sobriety, but there are also plenty of other people that could have got this pardon. And I've often said I would have given up the pursuit of this pardon if prison reform was enacted and these poor souls that have been sitting inside the prisons for 10, 15, 20 years for a bag of dope, if they were let out, I would have given up my pursuit of the pardon. I absolutely would have.
Yeah, there's a lot of people with the with three strikes and you're out, right?
Yeah.
Getting life sentences and a lot of people still in prison.
Keith Hornig's from Venice, Florida.
I got him on the map.
Okay, good. Mark Sigmund's watching. That's good. He's sitting right next to me. Dan Benson is watching. Who do you got? Lynn Hobby is watching.
I got Suzanne Duncan Lightbody. I love her name. I know. Hello, Suzanne. She's on every week.
Yeah, she's done. I've known Suzanne forever. She's super
dope. What a cool last name, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Mildred Greenberg Art. I'm going to blow his cover. There's no Mildred Greenberg Art. That's Mr. N.
Mr. N?
I hope nobody's listening. Steve Clovine. Is anybody listening?
Oh, that's Steve. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Come out of the closet. Tom Baker. Michael Vietz. Johnny Borer, Bob Mueller, Lawrence Miller,
Dawn Searock, hello.
Yeah. Robert Brody, my man.
Our buddy Mark Willig, hello, Mark.
Hey, Mark. Daniel Brosia, Catherine Lisk, Margaret Taffy, Lisa Weiss, Francis Summers. All right, let's get back to the show. Anna Zafer is watching from the Philippines.
I don't have that on the map, but once we get that globe in here.
It's next to New Mexico.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I guess so.
All right, did you want to?
I I got to tell you, I've been waiting all week. I got up on Wednesday and I heard the news about Gary, and I thought, Jesus has a very good sense of humor, because I could not believe it. So I had some questions for Gary. Sure. So what was it like waking up Wednesday morning? Did you expect this? Did you see it coming? This pardon?
Okay. So I had this pardon application into the Department of Justice for 6 years, and it was approved by the FBI, Secret Service. And now it lays there, and it's waiting for a president to pardon you. That's where it is. I heard nothing in the last 5 years about this application. But I also knew that when most presidents leave office, they do a wide sweep of pardons. So I wanted to see who former President Trump had pardoned. So I get 5:30 in the morning, I open up the phone, and I'm thinking, did I think I was on that list? It was so remote, it was like hitting a lottery. And I go through Bannon, and I go through Kodak Blackjack or whatever his name is, and Little Kim or Little Wayne, and this one and that. And then I saw my name. I don't know if I blacked out. I couldn't believe it. I kept looking at it. I couldn't believe it.
Did you scream?
I was like waking up Marjorie. Hey, I want a pardon. I got a pardon. I think she said, I'm sleeping, something like that. No, she got right up, and I'm looking at it, and it was as if, I guess, how it would feel if you hit the lottery. You wake up in the morning, you look at the numbers, and you hit for big money. And I was waiting so long, I couldn't believe it. And then, of course, my phone lit up. All the television stations came to the house. I was the only person to get a pardon in the state of Pennsylvania by Trump. And it was quite amazing.
What were some of the feelings that you had?
There was a relief, because after all these years, Mark, you know I wanted this for so long. A relief. Why me? You know, why me? I mean, plenty of people have really good stories. And I really like to know why me. I don't know if I'll ever be able to find out. It was just an unbelievable relief.
Was there like a sense of, I guess it would be a sense of like joy. Was there any kind of sadness or
just excitement? No, there was joy. I think I was tearing up because it was so incredible. You know, tears of joy. It was just so incredible. I was like walking around the house. I didn't know what to do. Yeah. I kept looking. I got this pardon, you know? I couldn't believe it after all this time. And I got it from President Trump, who, as you know, I didn't support. So I almost give him credit that if he actually checked the backgrounds, besides the Secret Service and the police or whatever, if he gave it to me knowing I didn't support him, I really give him a lot of credit for that.
And what do you, you know, you were telling me that they give you something that because you got a pardon, that you're going to put on your wall in your office. Yes. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I looked it up actually this morning. If you look under presidential pardons, the document, it's a gold thing, and it says unconditional pardon to Gary Hendler and all this other stuff. And
yeah, if you ever go to Gary's office, he's got all kinds of cool things in his office. Lots of different pictures of musicians and et cetera. So now I'm picturing this right behind him, right behind his desk.
You know, I was asked by several of the news media. In fact, today I was on 990, the conservative radio.
Yeah.
And they asked me, did you vote for Trump? I said, no. Well, how do you feel about him? And I said, if I saw him, I would say, Mr. President, thank you very much.
Yeah. Who? You know, what were some of the other media outlets that reached
Channel
out
6
to you?
Came to our house.
I saw that
Channel
on
3,
Action News.
Channel 3, The Inquirer, NBC News, National, Jewish Exponent, this morning 990 AM, conservative talk radio.
Has anybody read, like, when you've gone into, like, Wawa or to a gas station or something, has anybody been like, hey, you're Mr. Pardon guy?
No, but people have driven by my office and going like this.
Giving you thumbs up.
I don't know who's in a car.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I it's just absolutely incredible. Hey, Mark Willig's on the
phone. Our buddy.
Yeah, let's talk to him. Yo, Mark.
What's up, Mark?
I had no idea that you were such a deviant. And you were pardoned.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You thought you told me you knew everything about me from the past.
I didn't know that you were a convicted felon. I mean, I knew that you were in some trouble, but all the good you did outweighs all the bad you did. I mean, come on, dude. I mean, why did they wait so long to do this? I just don't understand. All the work you do in the recovery community and all the help that you give, and I'm failing. I really am. I am. That means I'm, you know,
yeah, tell Mark and Brad
about
it,
Mark. You don't know what failing means.
Failing means he's getting emotional. He's getting.
Yeah, is that some vocabulary that just you and Gary know
Jiddish,
about?
No. Mike Myers did it on Saturday Night
Live.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
Dumb failing, you know, talk amongst yourselves, you know, things like that. But, you know, I'm really proud of you, brother. You know, as far as myself goes, I mean, you know, this is really, really getting to me, this whole pandemic thing. And, you know, I haven't talked about it as far as I'm concerned in a long time, but I'm just getting so depressed and feel so worthless. I mean, I'm not going to use, you know, that'll show me. And you know, I just don't know. You know, I have these certificates that I worked hard for. I'm 64 years old. I don't see myself ever working again. And it's a little disheartening. And I'm just, you know, if I could talk to anybody about it, I mean, I'm sure it could be you guys, especially like, you know, Mark is in the business.
Right.
And, you know, it's just, who can I help? You know, I help myself every day, and you know, I do what I have to do as far as my recovery goes, but to me it's just not enough, and I'm so at my wit's end, and I don't think my life is over, but I certainly think that my professional life is over, and I just don't know what to do. But by the way, I'm very glad that Tommy James is on next week.
Something to look forward to.
Wait, yeah. Tommy, he's not on next week. What do you mean, Tommy?
No?
No.
I thought you said he was.
No, I never said that.
Okay. anyway,
But Mark, you know, it's I think, you know, a lot of people are feeling this way, just like this has been going on and on and on. But I could see how it's really tough for you, especially because, like, you haven't been able to get to, like, the in-person meetings. You haven't been able to get really around people because of the health. And the field sometimes is hard to kind of break through in. But you and I should chat a little bit later or something.
Yeah. I'm, you know, I can't do H&I anymore. I mean, although I did H&I with you, but I can't go out in person. I can't go to the prison. You know, I can't go to facilities. I can't work in a facility. It's just very disheartening. But I will say this, that I do have this show to look forward to every week, and I am so enamored with you guys. I really love you guys, and you're dear, dear friends. And, you know, I hope we continue this relationship for a very, very long time.
We feel the same way about you, Mark. You know that.
Congratulations all around, man. My heartfelt congratulations. And you know, keep up the good work. And, you know, and you know, I hope, and Tom Wolf made a great choice in getting you to join his team. And anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Mark, have a great weekend. And
Mark.
You know, we feel the same way. Mark and I feel the same way about you, Mark. You know that.
All right, guys.
Yeah, we
love
you,
man.
Mark.
And lay off the Pepsi, Sigmund.
Dad,
I got my Pepsi here. Do you, Mark, do you want to speak for me tomorrow night?
Sure.
7:30? Maybe you and I can talk later.
Well, yeah, but aren't you in person?
No, we're doing the Zoom one and the in person, but I'm the chair in the Zoom meeting.
Yeah, listen, there's nothing better than being in service, guys. You know that.
I think that's a yes, Mark.
Oh, awesome.
Of course, there's only one answer.
That's it.
You're the man.
All right, brother.
I'll get you the
Love
Zoom
you.
Link.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
And stay out of the water, Gary.
Oh, I definitely will, bro.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad he brings that up. I mean, we haven't talked about sharks in a while.
Listen, speaking about sharks, let's talk about, and then I'll make this quick and you get back to what you want to do. February the 7th, we're going to be in Florida on three radio stations.
Amazing.
They are WWNN 1470 AM. We are on 96.9 FM and 95.3 FM. They're all in Southern Florida, East
Coast,
from Miami up to around Jupiter.
Oh, that's amazing.
So it's going to be fun. Saturday nights, 8 to 9.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Great stuff. You know, another thing I was wondering about was, what has the reaction been from your daughters and Margie?
Very proud, you know, very proud. I think when I said I got pardoned, I think Lizzie, my younger one, was like, "Shut up, I'm sleeping," you know, something like that, some typical answer. But no, everybody's been very supportive.
Because, you know, if our listeners want to know, Gary has been talking about this for a long time. I mean, this really meant a lot to him. I mean, over the past, really, as long as I've known you, you've brought it up just to kind of close the book on the past.
Absolutely.
And is that how it feels?
Mark, you hit it right on the nose. It's a relief. It is a...
I don't know where that music's coming.
I'm here. No, I'm not here. I'm a big relief. You know, because I was like, all right... Now, Biden's the president. How am I going to pull this? How am I going to get to Biden?
Yeah.
Now I don't have to pull it. Now it's nothing. And I did it legitimately. There were nobody pushing for me. There were no corners cut. I waited for the process to hopefully work. And in this case, it worked. You know?
Yeah, it's amazing.
We got a caller on the line.
It's Mr. N. Now I know who that is.
That's right.
Finally.
Steven.
Hi, Steve.
Hello.
Hello, brother.
Stephen Clofine here.
You finally came out, didn't you?
In celebration of your great accomplishment and what we do with Clean and Sober broadcasting and radio, I have decided to come out of the closet.
Oh, that is great, Steve.
Finally, Mildred Greenberg art. I never knew who that was. I saw it all the time on there. Now I know who it is.
Stephen's coming.
It's all good.
He's come out.
And I just want to say how pleased I am to be affiliated with Clean and Sober.
Steve's a board
and
member.
And Gary. And Gary's been my sponsor for 27 years.
Yeah.
And it's been a great ride. And, you know, like you guys always say, it's all about the people that need help.
Yeah.
And where they can find it, and they can come through us, and we can show them the direction to get help.
Absolutely.
And but you have to step forward, and you have to step forward to do it.
That's right.
And
that's right, Steve.
It's so wonderful. Like, and Gary, like we said, when you do the right things happen.
Yeah. Hopefully. Yes. Yeah.
And you're a perfect example of that.
Well, you know, thanks for that, Steve. And you've worked very hard in your recovery also. I know that. I mean, we joke around the time about it because – it's fun to joke around. You know, it's serious, but it's fun, okay? And you've worked very hard yourself, and you've helped a lot of people, and you're a wonderful person and a dear, dear friend.
I thank you so much. And you guys have a great evening, and we'll talk soon.
All right, Steve.
Peace,
Steve.
And love.
Peace and love,
peace
brother.
Peace and love.
Peace and love. Bye, Steve.
See you, Steve.
Steve.
Yeah, so... Now this is behind you.
Yes.
Right? Does it make you, because I've heard you talk about it, about the people that are still in prison and everything. Does this motivate you to try to do something about it?
Yeah. I actually put in a call this morning to the to Josh Shapiro, who's the attorney. What's he, state attorney general? Yeah. And
sometimes I got to.
Yeah, I know you do. And I'm hoping he'll return my call. And I would like to talk about this or get on some committee because it is really, it really is something that bothers me every single day that these poor souls did things that I know I did, maybe you did. They got caught and they got sentenced really harshly, and it's ruined their lives, their families' lives, the community they come from. It's just terrible.
And you believe in second chances?
Absolutely.
How long was the application? You mentioned the FBI came out and interviewed you, and
the application was 83 or 84 pages long, and it was detailed in my life. I mean, I was going to hide anything. I mean, everything was in that. I had an attorney help me with it from Washington. She was, her name was Margaret Love. She was the pardon attorney in George H.W. Bush's White House and Clinton's. She was the pardon attorney, wow. And she did it with me. She helped me. And, you know, we submitted it, and she can only do so much, you know. Yeah.
And you mentioned Rod, the attorney general, or was he the attorney general? Acting attorney general?
Acting pardon. I don't know the exact title.
Rod Rosenstein was for it, too.
Yeah, he approved it. I actually have his title here. I just happen to have it. You know what I mean?
Deputy or?
No, it's out of order.
It looks like we have a late caller, too.
Do we? All right, we'll get to it. Deputy Attorney General, United States. Yep.
Wow.
Okay, let's take this quick call. James, are you there? Hello?
Hey, Gary, this is Jim in.
Hey, Jim, my man.
Hey, Mark.
How are you?
Good. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, man.
At least I know one thing that you've done well.
All right.
He's heard a lot of them recently.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of that.
I know, but anyhow.
Yeah.
I'm really happy for you. I really am.
Thank you.
Too bad that Duffy wasn't around to see that for you.
Who?
I know how close you were with Duff. Tom Duffy.
Sure. Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah.
But you talked about you've been wanting that pardon for so long, and I remember you talking about that before.
Yeah.
And I'm happy for you, really.
Amen. Thank you so much.
It was a great show today, too.
Yeah. We liked it.
Thanks, Jim.
You support us almost weekly, and Mark and I really appreciate that, you know?
With everything that's going on and all like that, at least I scheduled an appointment today for a shot. So.
Oh, you did?
Oh, good.
Now, where are you? Where are you?
I'm outside Neck, Delaware.
Okay, right.
But the wood day just opened up 1B, and I followed into that 1B category.
Good. Hey, man, that's the music. We gotta wrap it up. Thanks, Jim, for checking in with us. We thank all our listeners, our viewers.
Like always, you guys are the best.
Eric Gale's Dynamite, Beyond Dynamite.
Great interview.
Jim Petrowski, Mike Vito.
Steve Klofein.
Brad Reisch. Everybody, our listeners, our viewers, we Mark and I sincerely thank everybody for the support.
Yes, we do. And have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe and stay sober.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.